of Trustees of Central Piedmont Community College. As a reminder, the members in the audience, section 143.318.17 of the North Carolina General Statutes provides that a person who willfully interrupts, disrupts, or disturbs or disrupts an official meeting and who have begun being directed to leave the meeting by the presiding officer willfully refuses to leave the meeting is guilty of a Class 2 misdemeanor. I'd also like to read, trustees are reminded of their duty to avoid conflicts of interest and appearances of conflicts of interest, to notify the chair of any conflicts with respect to matters hereby presented before the board. That being said, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And in front of you, you'll see your agenda. I need an action motion to approve the attached agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All approved, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, everybody. Below, you'll see the approval of the minutes held on the January 8th meeting. Excuse me, the consent. Excuse me, I need approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Can I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Now we're going to go to Dr. D for the President's report.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. As usual, we're going to start with the good news report, which is Lisa Schlachter is going to give us our institutional advancement report.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As usual, we have lots of great news to report. So I will start with some wins. We were just alerted last week. We applied for a grant from Duke Energy, and so we were awarded $21,000, and it's for vibrant engineers. We have raised a significant amount of money so far. We're just at the $200,000 mark for our Sporting Clays event with a goal of $300,000, and we're on track. We are really close to selling out in the morning and are working on the afternoon. As a reminder, this is our only fundraising event that we do. We really needed Swirl given the return on investment, so we continue to look at opportunities for engagement through events, through cultivation and stewardship, but this is our only fundraiser. So want to invite you to come out and help us. You can be a scorer, you can just meet and greet, but we'd love for you to come and be part of that event and to thank our wonderful sponsors. Really excited to share. I think I shared at our last meeting about the Travis Hain Endowed Scholarship. Travis was one of our foundation board members who unfortunately passed away. And so several of his business partners and others have generously given, and we crossed the $1 million mark. That was the goal. 77 unique donors and continued contributions, and that's going to support business students. So really excited about what that means for his legacy and for the generosity of those donors. This is a huge number, $3.4 million, and if you'll note, we traditionally celebrate that we give out about $3 million every year. And so we have already hit 3.4. We did this slide, I think it was 3 days ago. So as of this morning, $3,537,318.38. And why this is really important is our goal is to be able to award $4 million a year. And as you know, we have our 8-week sessions that continue to enroll. We are consistently awarding scholarships, and so we are currently on track to award $4 million. The other thing that's really important to note is that our average award last year was $725.75, and this year our average award is $815.43. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're continuing to serve the number of students. We are increasing the amount to ensure that we're closing as many financial barriers as possible. This is a huge win, not just for the sake of the amount of funding that we have available, but there is so much work behind the scenes. Real shout out to Jessica Boyce and to Johan on our foundation finance team. We've done a lot of work behind the scenes to try to ensure that we can award sooner. So we are opening our scholarship portal for next year on Monday, March 17th, which means that as students are really starting to project out what their financial need is and what their payment plans are, they're not having to wait until July or August. We're also in that competitive time frame with other institutions of higher education. So a lot of great work behind the scenes. You know that I've mentioned the fund project as we're analyzing our 847 funds. And as we're finding new opportunities and visiting with donors to release some of the restrictions, we're able to award more dollars, which means every single student is receiving more of those scholarships that are available. So really excited about that work. You can see one of our students who is in the class of 2025. We just continue to be amazed. Obviously, we saw the graduate here. We receive stories every day, and we can probably overload your inboxes with amazing stories, and we'll try to continue doing that. But just want to say our gratitude, my gratitude, for the work that you do and for your advocacy and for helping us through your gifts to support the great work we do through scholarships and program support. So any questions? We are tracking well this year, this time. I know that was the next question, where we are. So I will leave you with...
Hey, Lisa, can I ask one question?
Sure.
So the average scholarship, you said, is around 700. Is there some getting a lot less and some getting a lot more than that? What ranges from what to what?
So typically, if a student is doing full-time enrollment, it's about $1,600 a semester. So some of our students are receiving a full coverage. We also do some stackable scholarships. So as far as unique students, some will get one scholarship, others will get multitudes. So it depends on, especially with endowed scholarships, what the payout is. But some scholarships can be $200. Some can be as much as the full amount for their semester. It depends also if they're part-time or full-time, how many hours they're taking. So there's some variables there. But we really do try to cover as much of the qualified need as possible. Great question. So we are at $9,345,698. We're tracking really well year over year. We continue to have additional conversations with donors about both restricted gifts as well as unrestricted gifts. We are continuing to look for more scholarship dollars, but we're also looking for programmatic support, professional development, all the needs, and we're continuing to do a needs assessment to ensure that we are aligning our funding dollars with the needs of the college. Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and then as you know, one of the things that we have due to report is on strategic plan, and those are things that, as you know, we have the three main goals for the institution. You always hear us report out on where we are on those. Today, what I've asked Dr. Clark to do is kind of give us an overall big picture of where we are on our accomplishments there. We're going to present this in a way that we haven't so far, so hopefully you'll be pleased with that. And then she will talk a little bit about how, as you recall, we did the refresh. We kind of reimagined some of our KPIs. And then where we will be, because we're going into next year when this strategic plan sunsets, and what our process will be for the new one. So I'll turn it over to the great Dr. Tracy Clark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I know that our Student Success and Academic Programs Committee got a bit of a sneak preview, so my apologies, it'll be a bit redundant, but you'll get a great refresher, great introduction to those of you who are part of Finance, Facilities, and Auto. And looking at our strategic plan, I want to make sure to remind you all that when our current plan was launched, was the semester right before COVID hit. And so this was one of those projects that once we made it through COVID, we said, well, is our strategic plan still responsive to our teaching needs, still responsive to our community needs? And so this is up to the environment, and we did our refresh. We hit the road to make sure that our plan was still what our community needed. So we went from five goals at that time to three goals. And then as we looked at the three goals, we initially started off with our initial round of key performance indicators, our way of understanding how are we making an impact, how are we measuring attainment of those goals. We started off with 59, which is a lot. And part of what we did is we said, wait a minute, let's take a step back and evaluate these key performance indicators. And what we found is a need to refine them. I apologize, the circle should be on goal.
If we can have quiet in the room, please.
Can we get an agenda? We're lost.
We're just trying to find an agenda. That
we don't have one. Thank you. All right. Thank
what
you,
we found was that what we were trying to do is make sure that with any key performance indicator that we're staying at the mile high level, that we're staying on the strategy level. We're not into tactical operations. We're not into the business processes of independent departments. Those departments are doing their own assessment measures. They don't need the strategic planning committee dipping down into their scope of work. So you'll find the biggest reduction in our student success ones, goal one, stayed the same. We had a small dip in our number of partnerships, but definitely when it came to being strategic stewards of resources, that organizational culture, we found quite a few of those KPIs were very connected to daily operations that team should be looking at. So that was where we found the greatest reduction. Dr. Dietemeyer alluded to, we've got a different way of presenting it to you. So definitely want to get your pulse on this. What the strategic planning committee did is we sat down with our spreadsheets. And sitting out anonymous spreadsheets excites me. I'm a geek. I'm a data wonk. But it doesn't excite our general population. And so making sure that we had a way of presenting those 35 individuals.